Monster Man, Episode 419, Homunculus and Hook Horror.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we're looking at two monsters that are making their second appearances. The Homunculus appeared in the original 1st Edition Monster Manual, and the Hook Horror is from its follow-up, the Fiend Folio. Let's start with the Homunculus. This entry, like some of the other entries in Monstrous Manual, is just an expanded version of the Homunculus from the Monster Manual. The Homunculus entry, the original Homunculus entry, is not very long, but it's a good length. I don't think it really needed a whole lot extra. And sometimes we then get a lot of padding that's added to make the entry fill the mandatory one-page length, even if it doesn't necessarily need that amount of space to tell its story in, because the original Monsters Compendium was designed to be modular, and as a result, monster entries very seldom cross page boundaries, because you might be able to like pull the page out and take it with you to your game instead of lugging the entire book, or organize them by type, or whatever, which is a good idea. I mean, it's a monster wiki and a printer avant la lettre, I guess. Anyway, but the point is, I actually don't think that that's true about this entry. I think that some of the stuff, anyway, that was added to it actually gives you more opportunities for fun with the monster. I think my favorite thing is the note that says, Homunculus actually develops the personal mannerisms of its creator. Isn't that cool? I think, you know, you have some wizard and it's like, oh, he always strokes his chin or he rubs his palms together or he cracks his knuckles. And then like you catch the Homunculus like sneaking around your adventuring party's rooms at the inn or whatever, like going through your bags looking for the blue jewel. And you're like, man, what's this little creature? And then like it rubs its palms together and you go, oh, just like old man Zergithrax. Great. That's class. And you know what else? It actually inspires you to create NPCs who have those kinds of imitatable mannerisms so that people can identify the homunculi by what kind of stuff they do that copies the way a person behaves. I think that's terrific. Now, this is a very rare instance in the Monstrous Manual where I feel like the Tony DiTerlizzi illustration is not as good as the original illustration. I am a big Tony DiTerlizzi fan, and I often find that he does a very good job of bringing like a unique and distinctive character to monsters that were otherwise kind of visually a little underwhelming. That was really true of the Beetlekama Giant, for example. But the Homunculus entry in the original Monster Manual has a really great illustration by the artist that I call Dave Trompier, and I don't know if that's right. I know some people say Trampier. Anyway, it's a wonderful illustration, and in particular because it has, I mean, it's got that cartoony quality that some of his work has, but that's really fitting with the kind of like mischievous little guy characterization of the Homunculus. And furthermore, because the Homunculus is kind of like leaning around a potted plant, it shows us like a little scene. We've got some kind of like action going on that gives us a sense of what a Homunculus might be doing, and also it gives us a feeling for the scale of the creature. That said, I do like the expression on the Homunculus's face, and indeed I wonder if its sort of odd posture and gestures might not be, you know, some of those characteristic physical mannerisms of its creator. So it's fine. You know, it's a little guy that creeps around, it does missions for a wizard, and it could be either helpful or it could be an antagonist. It's fine. And it's a rare instance of the Monstrous Manual adding length to an entry and really giving a fun monster idea. You know, something that really elaborates on the original work. You know, some creators are profoundly original in the way that they work, and some are more interesting when they're commenting on someone else's work. And I don't prefer one or the other of those types of writing or those types of art. You know, I'm probably in that like second group. I think that if you give me a thing and tell me to put a spin on it or adapt it or reuse its parts to do something else, typically that's a form of creation that I almost find more fun than making something up ab ovo. If you ever watched the TV show that was known, I think, in the UK as Scrap Heap Challenge and in the US as Junkyard Wars, that's like my ideal form of creativity. I like making things from bits. So I don't want to sound critical when I say that. You know, I'm not saying that one of those is a lesser form of creativity, but you do need the right writer for the task. And I feel like a big kind of assignment like this one, sometimes we get someone being given a job that they're suited for. Like sometimes someone has to kind of come up with something pretty much from scratch, like the Huekova, you know, which is a completely different Huekova from the original. And sometimes we see someone who's really good at elaborating on an idea that already exists. But then sometimes we see someone taking the same idea and just saying it in more words, because that's the brief from editorial. Now, I mentioned this right before we go on to the entry for the Hook Horror. Here's the problem. The Hook Horror is, so it's a Fiend Folio monster, and I don't have any evidence for this because I don't know as much about the history of the Fiend Factory miniatures line. And if you are a listener who does, then I'd love to know more about it. There are definitely some Fiend Factory miniatures that if I had $1 million, I'd collect. The Salaman are an obvious example. They look so great. But I think that the Hook Horror is one of those monsters that maybe comes from the miniature. Someone made this kind of, it looks a little bit like a Godzilla monster, to be honest with you. I never thought about that before, but it sort of looks like Gigan. I may very well have said that it looks like Gigan in my first episode on it and just forgotten about it. When did Godzilla vs. Megalon come out? If it's not, I mean, it's got to be either just before or just after the Fiend Folio, now that I think about it. And assuming, of course, that there's a couple years of lag on the Fiend Folio, but you know, I wonder whether whoever sculpted the Hook Horror had just seen Godzilla versus Megalon. It does. Gigan kind of has a beak too, I guess. Anyway, whatever. We get a nice Tony Terlizzi illustration in this entry on the Hook Horror, but most of the other stuff is just like, it just adds detail about the Hook Horror, but none of it is really designed to make a game interesting. Hook Horrors have a social structure that's not really meaningfully interactable. They don't carry a lot of treasure. They're not very smart. They're not typically very aggressive. They're just kind of like a monster that you run into when you're underground and you have a fight with. And the original entry is like 2 paragraphs long and says, this is a monster that you run into underground and have a fight with. And this entry is a page long and just says, this is a monster that you run into underground and have a fight with. And here's a bunch of facts about it. But what's not here are any reasons to care about those facts. They don't come up in play because there's no reason for you to want to go to Hook Horror Town. And there's no reason for Hook Horrors to want to like interact or communicate with you. And they're just motivated to, like, look for food in the tunnels where you will run into them. I hate to say this, but you know what the Hook Horror is really lacking is, ironically, a hook. It doesn't really have a gimmick. And I suspect that that is because it is a monster that is driven visually. You know, if I were to put the figure on the table, it would actually contribute something to the overall look and feel of the game because it's so weird looking. And it's weird looking in the Deterlitzy reimagining as well. Much spindlier and more delicate, which is a very interesting thing because it's a monster in the Deterlitzy version that could not be a miniature, right? The parts are too thin. That's why everything in Warhammer is huge, because it's easier to make a model of something like that. You know, the thin, delicate parts are more likely to break or bend. Even these days, when, you know, they're not making them in metal anymore, nonetheless, that aesthetic stuck around, which I think is very interesting. But this is, whatever, unrelated point. So just kind of, it's a monster that needs a gimmick, but it's also kind of not a monster that needs a gimmick because beefy fight monster isn't like an underserved category. It's just a sort of inferior Umber Hulk. I'm not saying there's nothing there. The look is fine, right? So what we need is, I mean, realistically, what we need is a credible villain that could have these things as minions, or, you know, the usual where the, like, goblins are tunneling into the thing and they've, like, disturbed the Hook Horror population, and therefore the Hook Horrors are boiling out of the, you know, the caves, and they're coming down and, like, attacking the village, and you're like, huh, the Hook Horrors never attacked the village before. So you go and put a stop to whatever, like, goblin mining thing is happening, and then the Hook Horrors go back to their cave and everybody's happy, because Hook Horrors are basically just animals, right? I mean, they're a little more intelligent than animals. They're not very bright, but they are intelligent beings. It's fine, but there's nothing specifically Hook Horror-y about it. And it's just kind of entering into this brute space that's already crowded with monsters that serve a similar mechanical function and also have a compelling gimmick. I don't know. Have you effectively used Hoke Horrors in your game? I really feel like this is something that's sort of visually driven, but I'm open to other experiences. Let me know, because off the top of my head, there's nothing, like, my position is there's nothing wrong with them, but I also don't know what would inspire me to do something specific with them. Also, if there's any evidence that they're meant to look like Gigan, that'd be cool. All right, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be looking at monsters from the Chinese fantasy genre, Xianxia. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.